Hi, everybody. Welcome to Living Deliciously. I'm your podcast hostess, Dabby Longlegs. And today I have a really special guest with me. We have Susanna Banana, who also goes by Susie. Susie is a fetish performer and a sex worker who specializes in submission and balloons. She caters to a wide range of fetishes, but balloons and BDSM are her true loves. She absolutely loves content creation and also does a lot of personalized services like camming and sexting sessions as well. She is 25 and has been doing this coming up on 3 years now. You can follow Susie on the socials and support her work at Linktree/SusieBXXX. Hi, Susie. Hello.
Hello, it's so good to be talking to you again. It's been a while.
I know, it's so good to have you on. And we met, what, like 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was like right at the beginning of the Panini, and we're like making like au naturel, like hairy babe content together.
Yeah.
Good
I was
times,
still
good
blonde
times.
back then.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The black hair looks awesome on you.
Thank you.
Yes, I love like the goth vibe that you bring to like your aesthetic and your content. It's super fun. Yeah, so what have you been up to lately?
That's a big question.
I know, right?
Well, I've been in the UK the past year.
Oh, wow.
I'm coming back to the US this summer in about a month. This is my last month here, so I've been in mostly
Oh,
Scotland, but I've also been in UK most in England, mostly in Manchester.
wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I've kind of just like created my own little new sex work family over on this side of the sea. So,
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of like dungeon kind of like content that you've been making. So what made you go all the way over to the UK?
oh God. I wanted to leave the US before I turned 26. Because I'm chronically ill. My plan did not work out. Basically, I was like, I'm getting kicked off my parents' health insurance at 26. I'm chronically ill and require a lot of doctors, and I'm self-employed. I don't get benefits. So I'm like, I can't really afford to be this ill in the US. I want to live somewhere with universal health care. Of course, I'm now moving back to the US right before I turn 26, but that was my original reason. But I also just like found a group of friends that I started getting to know and talk to and get along with really well over here. And one of them invited me to move in with them. And then we got engaged, and then we got divorced. Well, we never fully got married, but we did break up. So it's been a crazy, crazy fucking year. A lot has happened.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is quite a journey. And I remembered like seeing those posts and I was going to ask about it and then now I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'm glad I didn't." But I'm sorry to hear that.
It's
But
okay. It was still like a really good year. A lot has happened and changed for me in the last year, and I'm still like, like my relationship here didn't work out, but I'm still like so happy I came over
yeah.
here. I've been over here for the past year, so.
Wow, that's amazing. So what was like I've never been to the UK before. So like what was like Scotland like?
A lot of grass. The cities are like, I don't know, it's the people are Scottish. I'm supposed to say like all this like cool shit about like, oh, you're an American who's been in Scotland, tell me all about Scotland. And like there's cities and people over there, and they do things that people do. And yeah, and it's part of the United Kingdom, but it's like also its own thing. You know this. Why am I telling you this? And I just don't know what to say. I'm like, and rainy, much like the Pacific Northwest, which I came from. So I'm like, that worked really well for me.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, it's a place in the world.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's it's a place with a lot of Scottish people.
Nice. Nice. So do you have like a game plan for when you do come back to the US or anything you're like looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, a bit. I'm planning on moving to New York.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right now I'm trying to find a sublet for like the 2 months before me and my friend move in together. I have a friend who, a really dear friend to me, who's moving to New York the same time as me. So eventually we're going to find an apartment together. I'm just looking for sublets right now. Until then, which is difficult when you're a sex worker, a lot of people don't want to live with a sex worker, especially when that like works at home and does camming and sexting and stuff. So I'm basically gonna do the same thing I'm doing now. I'm contemplating when I'm back in the US either getting more into I don't want to like say too much because I don't want to bite my tongue and then get to the US and decide I don't want to do either of these things or have it
For
not work
sure.
out. But I've been thinking about going into more mainstream porn or stripping, just
Oh,
as like,
cool.
I think it's time. I've been doing the same type of sex work for a while now, so kind of want to try something else.
Yeah, there's so many options with sex work, you know? It's like there's so many different like avenues you could take. It's like there's like the night flirt, like texting and like phone calls, and then there's like stripping, and then there's like more like mainstream porn. So, and I feel like New York is like an awesome place to do that. Like there's definitely like a scene to like film, and there's tons of clubs, and I mean, I think I remember you saying that you do like a lot of like aerial stuff and you do like contortion, and I feel like that translates like well into either, but like especially like at the strip club. Do you want to talk about like your experience with like contortion and all that?
Yeah, I mean, that's like my biggest passion is contortion and aerial, and I'm very much a performer. So like if I was to start dancing and stripping is like kind of the like bare what's the word? Not the barrier, the like boundary. No, what's the meeting point between sex work and the like circus burlesque world, you know? And so like if I was to like start performing aerial and contortion, I'd want to be doing sexy like fetish contortion and stuff anyways,
Fuck
because you know
yeah.
me, I'm all about sex. That's my thing. So yeah, and there's a big I that's kind of been the worst part about being over here in Scotland most of the last year is I haven't really been able to keep up my aerial. I have been training contortion at home, but haven't really been doing much aerial. So I'm definitely, that's one of my number one goals is getting back into that and hopefully performing a bit of aerial again, because I just was starting to get into performing right before the pandemic and then it shut
I
down, like all
know.
the
It
aerial
like
stuff.
cut so many dreams like short. Like I
Yeah,
remember
I think that's what it was like.
I remember like right before the pandemic, I like got a license to like perform at this brand new strip club that had opened. It had been like completely renovated. It was gorgeous. I performed there for maybe like 2 or 3 months, and then the pandemic happened, and I was like, no. But
Yeah.
yeah. But also, I'm like thinking like another cool avenue for that would be like at like sex parties and like kink dungeons and stuff. Like a lot of the times they like to have like entertainment for the night, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I could totally see you like doing a kick-ass like aerial contortion act there.
I would absolutely love to be doing sexy naked contortion at a sex party. Like, that is my dream for my life in New York. I'm like, please,
Manifest.
New York kinksters who listen to this, please, like, take me under your wing into the New York kink scene and let
Yes.
me do sexy contortion at your sex parties.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Actually, I'm like, I just remembered a performer that lives in, actually, I know of two that live in New York who are kind of in like the clown circusy scene, and they're also sex workers. So I'll send you their names after the show and just,
Sounds
yeah.
very up my alley.
Yes.
Especially with the clown stuff, I'm all for clowns.
Yes, which actually like leads me to another one of your passions, balloons. So, now I'm aware that balloons are like a totally like unique kind of like category of fetishes. Like my experience learning about balloons was like from a Bob's Burgers episode. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking
I've heard
about.
that so many times. Everyone does this to me. I've never watched this episode, but so many people have told me that's the only reason they've heard of balloon fetishists before is because of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, there's like an
I'm like,
episode
what the fuck
where
just see this?
like the parents are no, Linda's parents are in like an elderly like retirement community and but it turns out to be a swinger community and they actually don't want to participate and then Bob asks the father-in-law like w if there's anything that he's into and he's like balloons and he tells him to check out woman blows up balloon and sits on it and pops it.com. So that was one place that I'd heard about it, but then I actually did hear about it in like a sex ed class where we learned about like kinks and fetishes, and there was a video talking about people who were into either just like touching balloons and like they almost like feel like really affectionate and like protective over them, and then there are people who like get off on like popping the balloons. So
Yeah.
that's my perspective, but what is your perspective? What are balloons to Susie?
Well, first of all, I just think it's super interesting that you were in any sex ed class that was comprehensive enough to get into balloon fetish. I feel like most sex ed classes in the US are so lacking. So the fact, whether this is an adult or children's class or what, the fact that it is
College, definitely college, upper division.
college makes sense, but still very impressed. So yeah, no, balloons are very much as a fetish. Lunars is what we call balloon fetishists, are divided into poppers, non-poppers, and semi-poppers. Before I started sex work, I was a non-popper. I just like loved balloons, like both having them around as like toys and like intimacy things, but also just they're really fun to hump and have sex on. Like they're like kind of the best sex toy that you wouldn't think is a good sex toy. I'm a very sensory person. I have a lot of like sensory issues. So how things feel or in sound and everything is very important to me sexually. And for some reason, balloons are very satisfying to me. But it's also just like I kind of do feel like caring towards them. I'm like, oh, my balloon friend, like you're here to cuddle me. Like I actually have like an affection and love for my balloons that isn't just sexual. Popping, I started enjoying more and getting more into and being more satisfied by as I started doing it for work. I originally just wanted to like have balloons, fill my room with balloons and play with them and hump them and have giant balloons to sit on like couches and get my partners to fuck me on top of them and stuff. Then, as I started doing porn and knew that like if you want to profit in such a niche fetish, you need to do pretty much all of it. You can't be like, I'm only doing non-pop. So I started doing some popping and found I actually did really like it. It's really fun to me. Especially the pain part. I think that's where I get it. Is the BDSM side of me is what likes it. The like fear of it, and then when it like actually does hurt, like it can leave a mark on you.
Oh,
It can
like to
sting
pop a
bad.
balloon against yourself?
Yeah, popping it against yourself, blow to pops, sit to pops, these. If they're inflated enough, and if it's a certain quality of balloon, it will sting pretty hard when it pops against you. But it's also just, I think the anticipation and fear beforehand for me is really fun. Is popping the part of balloon play that makes me come and like have crazy orgasms? Not necessarily, but it's really fun to me, if that makes sense. And it's
Got it.
still very thrilling and satisfying. So that's why I still consider myself a semi-popper, even though
Got
if I
it.
were to invite a sexual partner into my bedroom and be like, let's incorporate balloons, I'd probably blow up a giant balloon and be like, let's have just sex on top of it and not pop it because it's my baby.
Aww. So it's like, it's kind of like you're like a balloon switch. It's
Yeah.
like you can tap into that like sadistic popping side, but like for the most part, like they're your,
It's
yeah.
the only type of switch I am. The only time I'm a switch.
That's so funny. Do you ever find it like therapeutic for anger to like pop the balloons?
Oh yeah. Especially mass pops. It's really nice. Also, sex work, there's such a pressure to always feel super sexual and always be super sexy. With balloon content, the nice thing is, if I'm not in a sexy sexual mood and don't feel like having like big orgasms and like stripping down, I can literally just make myself look cute and get my nails out and pop a fuck ton of balloons. I don't need to do anything inherently, explicitly sexual. And it's really cathartic,
Oh, I bet.
especially if you're in a bad mood. And I mean, people will get off to it and love it. But you don't need to be like, oh my God, you know?
Right? For real.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So like when you said like you like put on nails to like pop them, are they like the like stiletto like pointy nails?
Usually these are really short for me. I'm trying to save money to go back to the US, so I'm not getting my normal like super pointy black stilettos. So these are just, you know, from Primark,
nice.
Like Luon, but nice. Usually I have like long, long fucking pointy.
Oh, that's fun. I once saw a drag routine, somebody did a Pennywise act where they had balloons and then they had like the super like long like nails and they like popped the balloons and like synced it up to like the scary clown laughing, and it actually frightened me. It was really good.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot, to be honest.
And so another question that I have, if you're comfortable with answering. So you said like that's like the only time that you're like a switch, and I know like you've mentioned before that you're submissive. Would you like to dive into talking about like BDSM and like what being submissive means to you? Because I know like BDSM is like such a big like umbrella term.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, everybody's different. So
oh,
what's that like for you?
Well, I think one thing that's interesting about me is I'm one of the only submissives I know that's also purely a submissive for sex work.
Okay.
I know very few people who only sub for sex work. Most people, I know a lot of people who like do femdom who are submissives in their personal life. I think what's interesting is I don't know that many other people who both in their personal lives and in their work lives only sub.
Interesting.
For me, the type of subbing I do, slightly different subbing, I'd say, with a lot of my clients than what I do in my personal life. It's all stuff I enjoy and am comfortable with. It's just, you know, what people pay and want from me. I get a lot of guys wanting age play and worshiping them and like cock worship and acting kind of like a little, which is very taboo. I feel like, especially in the past few years.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, sort of, I forget what the word is, like, controversial kind of, like, discourse about it. But then at the same time, it seems to be really common in a way, so.
And it's been common forever.
Yeah.
But we don't need to, that's a whole other conversation we could literally spend hours on.
Right.
We could go on forever about that, but in my personal life, I'm pretty bratty, actually. But very much just a huge masochist and a huge rope bottom. I love to be restrained. I love to have people beat the shit out of me and force things on me and force me to do things. when you're sexting and camming, it's a lot more role playing and dirty talk. So, you know, in my personal life, if I'm like at a dungeon, the submission I do is very physical mostly. With clients, it's very much verbal. So I think that's the biggest distinction. But yeah, like in my personal life, I'm not very subservient, which is why submissive is a weird word. Like I'm not subservient. I want people to make me submit, which is why the term brat is a thing. But
Yeah, that makes sense. So for people who aren't familiar, maybe for more vanilla listeners, what does like brat mean to you?
yeah, so this is, I guess everyone has a slightly different definition for brat, but I think a brat basically wants a dom to earn their subservience. You know, like if they're gonna act out to get what they want, in a scene, like they're gonna act naughty to get punished if they want to. You know, if I'm like, oh, I want to be spanked, I'll act naughty in a way to get my dom to spank me. But I think a brat especially is less likely to just be submissive for the sake of being submissive. The dominant needs to earn their dominance over them, I
Got
think.
it. So I feel like that's where a lot of that kind of like, yeah, well, like make me kind of like energy can like come from for sure.
Yeah.
That's fun. May I ask, what is like one of your favorite like toys for impact play or like masochistic play?
Recently, I acquired a wooden bat in the past year, and I love it.
Like a baseball bat?
I could get it out. I can show you.
Ooh. For the listeners, Susie stepped away to show us her bat. I'm very excited to see it.
I can show you the two. I'll show you my three favorite types of things recently. I've never been big on floggers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I will be flogged. They're just, I've never found them that effective for like my type of pain tolerance. Like they'll never really get me to scream. This I love. It leaves beautiful dark bruises. It's super thuddy. I love it.
Ooh. So does that give like the deep thud kind of effect?
Yeah, like the deep bruisy feeling, yeah.
Damn. Okay. Maybe I will have to check out a bat then.
And then I'm a big person for paddles. I love this bamboo paddle. It's my favorite. My nail just fell off. These stupid nails. This bad bamboo paddle is my favorite because of these like holes. It makes it like science, physics. I'm a bimbo. I don't know how it works, but it slaps super hard and can be both
Nice.
skinny and thuddy. But this isn't the best example, but my favorites are definitely vampire paddles, which when they spank you, they have little spikes and
Oh
make you
my
bleed.
gosh.
They look a lot scarier than they are. They're not actually more painful, in my opinion, than any other paddle that I've worked with. But like, it just makes blood splatter everywhere, which is super fun.
Would you be able to rotate it so people could see like how big the spikes are?
Yeah, so this one's not like a super,
I like
you
the
need
little
to.
flowers on it too.
Yeah, one of them fell off. Oh, that's so sad. One of them fell off, so now there's only three. Most vampire paddles will have like a bunch of smaller spikes, and these ones are rather dull. Like, you can spank someone with this without drawing blood. I've had other vampire paddles used on me where if you're spanking someone with any real impact, you're not going to do it without blood being drawn. So, you know, but this is the only one I have. Definitely because it's blood play, there's like things that you need to be safe about, like sanitation wise, if you're using this paddle, you can't just then use it on anyone else that's sharing blood and stuff, and you know.
Yeah, I imagine like the user would probably want to like wear gloves too, and
Yeah.
yeah, safety first, everybody. Do your research.
But
That's
yeah.
so cool though. Wow.
Oh, I need to clean this thing. Covered in, okay, I thought this is mold for a second. It's candle wax.
Oh, of course, of course.
Candle wax.
Wax is fun too. That's like another fun, like sensory thing too.
Yeah.
Cool. So, thank you so much for like sharing so much cool stuff about yourself. I do have some audience questions if you're down to answer some.
Very down.
Yay. Okay. So, first question is, how did you get into this field?
Kind of back to chronic illness, it's the same way I got the idea to leave the US is I finished school and was really burnt out physically, just all my like I'd been pushing all my health issues to the side for years and just ignoring them. And by the time I finished college, I'd completely burned out and just all my shit flared up, and I got really just wasn't doing great mentally either. And I was having a really hard time finding a job that I could work. And you know, I was going through bouts where I like couldn't would sleep for 3 days straight uncontrollably. And I was like, well, I can't really, what job can I do where I'm not going to get fired if I just don't show up to work because I have a migraine for 3 days or I'm asleep for 3 days straight. So that's pretty much how I started. I was babysitting and dog sitting at the time and doing like some research for a grad professor. I stopped doing all of that pretty quickly and went to full-time sex work within a few months because I just found that worked best for me. And it still does. I just still find it very much the most compatible job for me.
Seriously, though, can I ask? Like, I'm just curious, what did you major in school?
Environmental science and studio art.
Oh, cool. I personally found myself, like, after, like, I got my bachelor's in psych, and, like, I thought I wanted to go to grad school, and I was just like, nope. And the burnout is, like, real, and I think it's really cool how like something that like I'm hearing a lot from like my other sex worker friends is just like the dignity of being able to work from home, especially as like a chronically ill person, and like having like that autonomy and like that flexibility.
Yeah, the freedom is pretty incredible. Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Just, and also as someone who's like a night person, I often fall asleep at like 7 to 9 a.m. I can just, which is perfect for online sex work.
For real. Yeah, like you get to like choose and make your own hours. And then another person asked, what's been your most rewarding project or adventure so far?
In general, in my life, and sex work
With
is.
sex work.
I'm trying to think of. I'm kind of tied between two things. I mean, I'm gonna just generally say collabs and then specify that. Generally, I think the most rewarding thing for me is not always working by myself. Whenever I have a chance to work with other people to make content, and I divide that into two categories of people I've been able to film porn with and do collabs with, has always been super rewarding for me. You know, when you're making a lot of porn in niche categories, you make a lot of the stuff, same stuff over and over again as a solo performer. So it just opens up the door for so much other stuff and meeting other people in your field and getting to know other people in your field. That's how I originally met you back
Yeah,
in the day.
right.
The other type of collab is getting to work with Balloon Ace, which is a balloon company, as one of their brand ambassadors, has been really incredible. Like, basically getting to, like, you know, instead of like working with another sex worker to mutually help each other grow, doing that with a like a company, it's different than having a giant brand sponsor you that's like a giant multi-billion dollar corporation. You know, it's different because it's a company, but it's a company that you actually care about and is also a small business, and you get
Yes.
to personally know the people who run it. So I think that was like very special for me, getting to have this collaboration with a business that is very different from how I think most people think of sponsorships and being a brand ambassador and stuff.
That's so cool. Yeah, I've seen you tagging them and I've seen them tagging you. And so that's like awesome that you're able to like have that partnership with them.
And they made my balloons. They made all
Yeah.
my logo, Susanna balloon. Blah, 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 blah. Words are hard. Well, my logo, Susanna Banana Balloons. You'd be
Yes.
shocked how much I do this in porn. This is the thing people don't realize gets cut out, is all the times there's like cuts in my porn, it's me like talking and then suddenly I slip on my words and go blah, 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 every single time.
Love it. Love it. It happens.
But yeah, they made a bunch of Susanna Banana Balloons with my logo on it, and they a few months ago all sold out. I still have the ones they gave me, but they sold out all the ones they were selling.
Hell yeah. That's exciting. Okay, so I didn't realize that like this Zoom meeting or like this Zoom account only allows for 40-minute meetings. So we are approaching time, but just like one or two more questions. What do you like most about what you do? And then do you have like a funny story or like a favorite story of like something that's happened on set?
I'll answer the second question first because that comes to mind the quickest.
Okay.
This is still one of my favorite stories because it's from when I was newer to sex work. It was within the like first 6 months. One of my first regulars really liked double penetration sessions with like one dildo in the pussy, one in the vagina, and he'd often extend. And one time I was just so hungry and wanted to eat so bad. And he asked for a session as I started to cook dinner. So what I did is I'd film a video of me fucking both my holes, then hold the dildos in with one hand, waddle over to the kitchen, shake the frying pan, waddle back to my bedroom, and like, if you see the footage, I just look like I'm like fucking my holes on camera and having a grand old time, but I'm impressive skill, especially for like a baby sex worker to just be like, fuck your pussy and your asshole at the same time, hold them in and just like waddle to the kitchen.
Yeah.
That to this day I think is my funniest
That's
story.
Impressive. Multitasking.
I do not have the energy to do shit like that anymore. Like,
for real, for real.
That was before I'd experienced any burnout at any point.
For sure. Damn.
And the other question, what's my favorite part about my job? I honestly think I'm very artistic. Like I said, I have an art degree. I think it's the art side. I don't think people realize how much of this job involves creativity and
Yes.
aesthetics. And so I do very much feel like I get to like be creative and a creature of aesthetics in this job. Also freedom. Every sex worker will tell you freedom of being in control of your schedule and your time, especially any chronically ill sex worker, whether it's physically or mentally, they'll all tell you that. But no, the creativity and the like aesthetic aspects, like making a photo look nice, thinking of an interesting creative porn plot, making a nice background for something, like having to come up with dirty talk on the spot for a really crazy role play that this dude pulled out of his ass and wrote like this long thing, and you're like, okay, let's do this.
Yes.
Come on, let's go. Like, these dudes have like fanfics written out that they want you to play with them, and then you just it's like improv, it's fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, and you really do Like, just from like your Twitter and your Instagram, it's like the creativity and like the intention really shows. And so kudos to you for having that aesthetic on point. Like, yeah, the creativity is super fun.
Thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Well, we are just about at time, but thank you so much for doing this episode with me. I've had a lot of fun chatting with you. Before we go, is there anything you would like to plug, social media projects you're working on?
Check out my clip stores. I put a lot of work into those two babies. It's my many bids and my clips for sale. I'm trying to think any specific projects going on. Nope. I'm so happy you had me here. It's always so
Yay!
nice to talk to you. I think everything you do is so cool as
Oh,
well.
thank you.
You're an incredibly creative, cool, intelligent, awesome person.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm like, and these are like the kinds of people that like I want to talk with. And so like I'm so glad that we got to like collaborate on this. And maybe when you come to the US, we can do another cool artsy thing together.
Mwah. Too.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here today, Susie, and I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so
Yay.
much for calling me.
Of course. Take
Okay.
care.
Bye.
Bye.
Recording stopped.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we have like exactly a minute left. It was like, you only have 40 minutes allowed. And I'm like, what the fuck? And yeah,
Well,
so.
perfect timing.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. So, yeah, thank you for being flexible with that. But, oh, I guess I could stop recording on the